بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة وسلم. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة وسلم: اللهم إني أسألك علما نافعا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وشفاء بكل داء، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respect to all my ikram, my brothers in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the change of Qibla from Masjid Aqsa to Kaabatullah, there will be no other change. We are discussing the history of Kaabatullah. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was journeying in around areas Syria, Egypt, and in Egypt where he was with his wife Hazrat Sara radiallahu ta'ala anha, that I explained to you when we discussed the history of Zamzam, how she was accosted by that king. This actually took place in Egypt. And after that, the king of Egypt, he gifted Hazrat Sara radiallahu ta'ala anha with Hajira. According to Alama Suleiman Nadwi rahmatullah alayh, he says that there's a high possibility that was Hajira, was the daughter of Firaun, and he gifted his own daughter because of what was displayed in front of him when he tried to harm Hazrat Sara. And in those days, when any supernatural act was linked with some person, they should say that person is jinn. They utilized that word, they said this person is like a jinn. Now in our Sharia, we know jinnat are created from fire, malaika are created from nur, and we believe, it's part of our iman that we believe in the malaika, we have not seen them, we believe in them, and the jinnat, we have not seen them, we believe in them. But in the Fasad, we can mention that these days, unfortunately, anything strange happens in the house, first thing that goes in the mind is jinnat in the house. If the light has to go a little bit dim and go bright a little bit, jinnat in the house. If the cups and saucers just decide to fall down, then jinnat are playing in the kitchen. And in the kitchen, the curtains move, the first thing for jinnat. There's no shortage in South African homes of jinnat. And as soon as that happens, that there is jinnat in the house, that those who are outside, those who are making taoises, etc., is permissible. But once you have this wahm in your head that there is jinnat and jadu, etc., then they have a field day with us. So a person should realize something: the curtain moved because the window was open, and the light went off because you never pay your electricity, and the cup fell because of carelessness. First, we must try to say those things, but unfortunately, we go immediately jinnat, jadu, neighbor looked at me badly, a relative looked at me badly, something is going on. Respected elders, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam proceeded from there, and I told you Hazrat Sara gifted Hazrat Hajira to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Meaning of Hajira, according to the scholars, they say strange. Why? Because she's a stranger when she comes to Makkah to Mukarramah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the name for her Hajira. Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam was born in Palestine. Coming from there, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, because Hazrat Sara decided to stay away along the route, and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam was born in Palestine, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam then came to, by the inspiration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Makkah al-Mukarramah. There he was shown the spot where the Kaaba was. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam showed him where the Kaaba was, and at that time there was a red hillock. It was at that stage that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was given the command again to go out and go down with the Tabligh,
تو حضرت ابراہیم علیہ السلام پرسید ایز میں دی دعا تو اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ دا جی اللہ بلس دس لینڈ دی اس بیرن بٹ بلس اٹ وز فروٹس میک اٹ اے لینڈ آف پیس اینڈ ٹرانکوئلٹی اینڈ میک اٹ اے لینڈ ویئر دے کم ٹو میک صلات اینڈ طواف. This dua he made whilst he was going away from the Kaaba towards the Shubaika side. The Shubaika side is that side where if you take the Khalid ibn Walid road these days, if you go straight, you go to Tariq. After that, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam came back, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam had grown, they constructed the Kaaba. Whilst constructing the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set down two stones. One was the Maqam Ibrahim, and what was the Hajr-e Aswad. See, the Hajr-e Aswad, according to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was the chief of the stones in Jannah. The chief of the stones in Jannah was the Hajr-e Aswad. It came down. It was brought down and left by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam behind Jabal al-Qubais. Jabal al-Qubais is that mountain upon which the king's palace these days. You'll see the king's palace there, and also the two walking tunnels. They go through the Jabal al-Qubais. So behind the Jabal al-Qubais, the Hajr al-Aswad was left there. And at that time, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it was shiny. It was white and milk and shining and bright. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the sins of man have darkened it. The sins of man have darkened it. Like our heart, naturally, in a good state, in a proper state, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to keep it in, it is shining, it is bright. It is shining and bright, giving of light. And when a person sins, according to the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a black spot comes out to the heart. And when a person repents, the black spot is removed. And if a person keeps on sinning, then the black spot increases and increases, more black spot comes, until such an extent the whole heart becomes black. The person, he does not after that possess the capacity and capability and ability to accept the truth. That is why sometimes you want to preach the truth, propagate the truth, the people are not people prepared to listen, or the person is not prepared to listen because the heart is not ready to receive. That is a very lengthy discussion. One day I'll make it for you. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam told Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, go look for the stone. He was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a stone is coming. They went and found the stone and they placed it where the Hajr-e Aswad is. Now we translate generally the Hajr-e Aswad as black stone. I personally do not like the translation, although maybe according to the dictionary it is right. But at the Rahman, in respect, we should translate Hajr-e Aswad as the chief of the stones from Jannah. That would be a better translation for the word Hajr-e Aswad. Everything to do with Islam and everything to do with us, we must translate properly. For example, the Mizab-e-Rahmat. The Mizab-e-Rahmat, which is the water outlet on the Kaaba, when the rain comes, the water comes into the Hatim area, at the Hijr-e Ismail area. Now, when a person translates Mizab-e-Rahmat, he will not say gutter. Why? Because gutter is not a good word. But if he says water outlet is more decent, better. For example, when we talk of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his young age, when we talk of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his young age, then we must not say Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was a boy. It does not sound right. And when we love Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we must not say that when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a boy. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his youth, in his young days, that is more respectful to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. The deen of Islam has got a lot to do with respect and adab and honor, and we must respect each other, respect the Anbiya, respect Allah, respect the Awliya, respect the Prophet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Maqam Ibrahim, it is stated by historians that it should move. Whenever they wanted to place a rock, then the rock was driven to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam should stand on that Maqam Ibrahim, and it should move up. According to some historians, it should move sideways. Eventually, it was kept there outside the door of the Kaaba. At the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was brought to the spot where it is now. And when we discuss the history of Maqam Ibrahim, I will give you the history about how it was moved, when it was moved, why it was moved, and all those things. Respected elders, what I want to start discussing today is that the year in which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, then there was a person called Abraha. Abraha was the governor of Sana'a, of Yemen. And he was under the Negus. what he had decided to do was to come and destroy the Kaaba for various reasons. However, before we discuss how he came and what happened, this Abraha, you have heard of him, you have listened to the story, but it is very interesting to know how he came into control of Yemen. There was another ruler in Yemen, and Abraha did not agree with him. So Abraha created a faction, and he split the whole community, the whole political scenario into two. When he did this, that person who was ruling Yemen decided to wage war against Abraha. Abraha wrote to him and spoke to him via messages and told him that why don't we have a one-on-one combat to resolve the issue. When we have a one-to-one combat, then we will resolve the issue. The one who wins, he will rule. So that person, his name was Arya. He was a very tall, muscular, strapping, handsome person. And meanwhile, Abraham, he was short, fat, Abyssinian. When they decided to have this one-on-one combat, then Abraham had his band standing behind him to protect any attack from the rear. So, when Abraha was faced with the enemy, Arya struck him with a spear, and to such an extent that he split the skull, the eyebrows and the nose and the lips of Abraha. And as a result, he was called Ashra, meaning the split-faced one. When he fell down, Abraha's man, seeing Abraha in difficulty, he killed Arya. As a result, now Abraha became the ruler. When Abraha became the ruler, the diggers came to know of this, and he sent a message in no uncertain terms that I'm sending an army to fight you, Abraha, because why did you kill my Amir, my leader, in my absence without any instructions? And I will take the soil and the hair of your head when I come there. That was the method of speaking. So Abraha, what he did, he sent a whole delegation to diggers with two things. One was, he sent a basket of soil from Yemen. He gave them, he said, go and give diggers. And secondly, he shaved all his hair and sent it to diggers. Meaning that you do not have to come here to for the land and all my hair. By removing the hair in those days, it meant that we are accepting your rule. So by this action, Abraha accepted the rule of diggers. And diggers said, okay, we will not do anything, we accept you as our new ruler because you have set the hair and you set the soil of Yemen, meaning the soil belongs to us. The land belongs to Abraha. He built one cathedral, citadel in Sada, and he started telling the people, don't go to the Kaaba, come to Sada. And he wrote a letter to Diggers saying that I will make every effort to bring all the pilgrims which generally go to the Kaaba, because in those days I told you they had the Ayyamat Hajj of Jahiliyyah. They had the days of Hajj in the ignorant ways. So, he said, I'll bring everybody here. Meanwhile, some Quraysh youngsters came to know that Abraha had built a citadel, a place of worship in Sada. So they went there. And they, according to the historians, some of them, they say, they burnt part of it. Some of them say, though, what they did, they soiled part of it. Soiled part of it, you understand. And they came there. So Abraha was in a rage and furious now. He said, I'm coming. I'm going to destroy the Kaaba. And he proceeded towards the Kaaba. He proceeded with a huge army and also elephants. In those days, he had brought elephants along with him. When he was proceeding, what he should do, conquer the tribes as he's proceeding. And tell them that if you stand against me, I'm going to destroy the Kaaba. He was very clear about this. If you stand against me, I'm going to destroy you. If you want to leave me, I'm proceeding through. If you want to join me, then you join me, the fruits when I destroy the Kaaba you will have also. Meaning the booty and the all those things you will have. Remember in the history of the Kaaba, before we proceed, that the tribe of Jur'um is settled with Hazrat Hajra and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. When they left Makkatul Mukarrama, they took all their valuables. They took all their valuables, their precious stones, and their swords, etc., which were studded, the handles were studded with pearls and diamonds, etc. And they dug a hole in the Kaaba. In the Kaaba, there is a well. And they put all, it's still there up to date. When we discuss the well, then I will mention about Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and his reaction to the well. So at this stage it is covered up, just as they have covered it up in those days, the Jurub, they covered it up. Abraha proceeded. As I told you, he conquered and he proceeded. When he came right near Makkatul Mukarramah, and he came, now you know the area which he came near, or shall we say, when you're walking from Mina to Arafat, and you're crossing through Muzdalifah, there is a whole area, and it is written there that you must not stop there. That is where Abraha's elephant and his army was destroyed. So that area he came and camped. Meanwhile, he sent a message that the custodian and the caretaker of the Kaaba, who is he and bring him? So they went, Hudaka, he sent Hudaka to Makkatul Mukarramah to negotiate. And he found out that Abdul Muttalib is the custodian of the Kaaba, grandfather of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, grandfather Abdul Muttalib, he said, yes, I would like to see him, talk to him, because 200 of my camels are missing. 200 of my camels are missing. And that messenger said, yes, I am instructed to bring you there. So they brought him. When they brought Abdul Muttalib there, then he knew one person there. I told him, see, arrange a meeting with the king. Arrange a meeting with the king, 200 of the camels are gone. So that person, he went to Abraha. I told him, see, this custodian of the Kaaba is here. He wants to talk to you. He's a very important man. And he feeds the pilgrims. He provides water for them, food for them. He even feeds the wild animals and birds in the mountains. So he's a very nice person. You must talk to him. So Abraha said, yes, I'll talk to you. Abdul Muttalib was a person of dignity and honor, and when he walked with dignity and honor. Muslim must walk with dignity and honor. Abdul Muttalib, when he came in front of Abraha, Abraha was seated on a throne. When he saw the dignity and awe of Abdul Muttalib, he was now confused what to do. Whether to bring Abdul Muttalib and make him sit on the throne. If he does that, the people will say he brought him equal. So he quickly got down and he sat down on the floor and he told him to sit near me. By the interpreter, he asked him what you want. And he was fully realized that I have come to destroy the Kaaba. Abdul Muttalib told him, see, I want my 200 camels. That is all. Abraha said that I have come to destroy the Kaaba. And you are 200 camels, which I lost, which you say our army has taken. What has happened to you? When I saw you coming to me, I thought you are a man of dignity and status and position. But now when you speak, I'm so disappointed that you are asking for 200 camels, and here I come to destroy the Kaaba, which you are the custodian. What I want to mention now is what Abdul Muttalib said. Abdul Muttalib said that this word Rab, Rab in Arabic means owner. He said, I am the Rab of the camels. I am the owner of the camels. I will care for the camels' welfare. And Allah is the Rab of the Kaaba. And the Kaaba is the house of Ibrahim. They should call it the house of Ibrahim. Allah will worry about that. He did not use the word Allah. He said, the Rab of the Kaaba, the Rab of the Kaaba, the owner of the Kaaba will look after the Kaaba. I will worry about my kid. So Abraha was completely disgusted. He told him, okay, you can go. Abdul Muttalib proceeded to the Kaaba. And with a few companions, he held the knocker of the Kaaba and made dua. Made dua, O Rab of the Kaaba. You look after your property, I'm going to look after my property. You take care of the Kaaba, I'm going to take care of the camels. I'm going to protect our life and property. You, O Rab, look after the Kaaba. Respected elders, they did not bring Iman Abdul Muttalib, but they had full yaqeen that Allah is protector of Kaaba. What we derive from this, respected elders, Kaaba is shiar-e-Islam. Kaaba is a sign of Islam. Kaaba is a symbol of Islam. Kaaba is a chief characteristic of Islam. Any person, Muslim or non-Muslim, when he comes against the shiar of Islam, against the symbol of Islam, Allah destroys them. Whether a Muslim, male or female, young or old, there is a shiar of Islam, a sign of Islam, masjid of Islam, azan of Islam, madrasa of Islam, darulum of Islam, beard of Islam, kurta of Islam, miswak of Islam. Any sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a shiar of Islam, is a symbol of Islam. Any person, you or I or any person, no matter who that person is, if he comes against the symbol of Islam, if he mocks at it, laughs at it, jeers at it, and tries to demolish it, Allah will demolish that person. The story of Abraha coming there is just not a story, but it's teaching us, listen, wake up, that if you try to harm or injure or go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any way you want, Allah will destroy us. And we, especially Muslims, that unfortunately, when a person now begins to adorn a beard, you laugh at him. When a person begins to come to salat, you begin to laugh at him. When a person begins to adopt the hat and the kurta, then you say he's orthodox. When a person now wants to bring parda in his house and bring the law of parda in his house, you say, what happened to him now? He's called orthodox. Anything which is proven clearly in Islam becomes a shiar of Islam, becomes a symbol of Islam. And the symbol of Islam, respected elders, I plead to you and beg to you that don't say anything against a symbol of Islam.
The Kaaba and the Mataf area, we have got the Hatim, we have got the Hajre Aswad, and we have got the Hijre Ismail. So we've got that semi-circular area for two portions. In it, the Hatim and the Hijre Ismail, the room of Ismail, the house of Ismail, the residence of Ismail, the place where Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam should stay with his mother, Hazrat Hajira radiallahu ta'ala anha. Then we've got the Hajre Aswad. It is stated that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that two gems have come from Jannah. One is the Hajr Aswad and the other one is Maqam Ibrahim. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in a hadith also that Yawm al-Qiyamah will not take place, or the destruction of the world and the annihilation of the world will not take place, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala narrates, until the Quran is lifted from the hearts of the Huffaz. The Quran is lifted, taken away from the heart of the reciters, and the Hajr Aswad be taken away. Mujahid, scholar of Islam, Ramadullah alayhi states that Hajr Aswad will not be left on the surface of the earth when it comes to the time of destruction and annihilation of the earth. Because Hajr Aswad belongs to Jannah, has come from Jannah, therefore it has to go back to Jannah. It will not be destroyed. Similarly, we can say of the Maqam Ibrahim also, it will be lifted and it will not go under destruction or ruin. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith has stated that when the Hajr Aswad came down, it was whiter than milk. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith stated that when the Hajr Aswad came down, then it was so bright that its brightness covered the east and the west, spread so fast and so vast. Scholars of Islam have stated in various times in history, when the Hajr Aswad was moved at times, then they were able to see the whiteness. At some stage in history, when they were removing or renovating or replacing the Hajr Aswad, they were able to see these white spots, and they were able to see the brightness and the milk white which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in a hadith that the Hajr Aswad, when it came, it was whiter than milk, but the sins of the mushrikeen, made it black. Another hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that the Hajr Aswad was whiter than milk, but the sins of the transgressors made it black. Another hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that the Hajr Aswad, when it came, it was whiter than milk, but mankind's sins made it black. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that together with Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, when Hazrat Adam alayhi salam came, then from Jannat, Hajr Aswad also came. Historians narrate that right up to the time of the Quraysh, right up to the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, in the time of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, in the time of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, the Hajr Aswad was called Hijr. It was just called stone. Later, in the time of the Quraysh, etc., it was changed into Hajr Aswad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand these, to practice these, and also value the blessed land. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.